Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know.
Good morning, shoppers. Welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. This is a show dedicated to your shopping happiness. Shopping happiness, employee happiness, happiness across the board. One big, beautiful, smiley rainbow. You know, a rainbow turned upside down is a smile, of course. My name is Johnny Wright. I'm your host this morning. Coming up on the radio program, we talk a lot about customer service training, the five pillars of great customer service, which you've heard me ramble on a lot about on this particular radio program, which are smile, greet, engage, thank, and follow up. You're going to hear from an employee who has been knee-deep in that customer service training, surrounded by those five pillars on a weekly basis. He works for a client of mine, Westside Auto Pros, of which I have about a dozen clients throughout the Des Moines, Central Iowa area in which I do customer service training, secret shopping, as well as some external marketing. You're going to hear from Jeff coming up. And actually, we did this particular interview on site right after we had done some customer service training, our weekly meeting. And we're going to talk a little bit about his training and how it's affected him and training he did before that and the whole nine yards. Also, take a look at the Declaration of Independence. You talk about customer service. I mean, you talk about a group of people who got together and said, you know what, we just want to be happy. We just want to live lives that are happy. We want to be able to smile. We want to be able to live happy and die happy and smile happy and really mean it. And they sort of took things into their own hands, didn't they? And 234 years later, we are all the better for it. I'm actually going to read parts of the Declaration of Independence. And I did some research this week, and I truly did not understand the Declaration of Independence and what it really meant, what they were attempting to do. I had a sense of it, but hopefully by the end of this hour, you'll have a better sense, as I did in part of my journey. Your weather forecast today, it is a journey of warmth and potentially of quite a bit of rain. Today, though, sunny, warm, and windy, a high of 86 and winds gusting up to 26 miles an hour. If you're a guy with a toupee or thinning hair as I, you really need to get the high-density hairspray. The stuff that I look for, the Ultra Hold label on the bottle. You go with that, I think you're going to be okay. I think you and I will be all right today. We'll see how that goes for us tonight. A 40% chance of showers pretty much after 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. And so we'll both be, and both of us, sure, myself and the one listener, we'll be sleeping soundly when the thunderstorms begin to develop. And hopefully we'll just sleep right through it. A low only of 70, quite warm and a bit on the muggy side, and still windy as well. And then Sunday, Independence Day. Showers and thunderstorms with heavy rain possible, likely even. A high of 80 with rain chances at 80%, and 1 to 2 inches of rain is possible throughout the day on Sunday. And so we've got flooding issues. And if you've been watching television or on the internet, you know that the focus at Birdland Park and the levees, and there's a slight leak there. And I thought the TV stations did really interesting, some very intense coverage down there, which is understandable because in 2008, the whole section came across and you had some terrible flooding down in that area. Right now, it's at a trickle, and the river's actually falling, and Sailorville, the level is falling. And so these are all good things, but it's probably not going to last very long. Come about Sunday, and then Sunday night, more rain, an additional inch of rain possible. So we're looking at up to 3 inches of rain over about a 24 to 36-hour period. Monday, more thunderstorm chances in 81. Right now, we are at 67. The old, it's not an old axiom. It's my axiom, but there's nothing that's original. I'm sure someone else said this too and probably said it a lot better, but I always say hire happy, train skills. I say this to employers, business owners. I've said it hundreds of times, and in my ears, it makes sense. And the reason it makes sense is based upon my experience as a customer service trainer and evaluator going on 5 years now. Over that time, I have worked with literally hundreds of employees in a training capacity, alongside them, looking at other trainers, watching other trainers. Along that journey, I've created processes and training programs to help employees follow the five pillars of great customer service, to smile and greet and engage and thank and follow up and do all of that with great joy and vigor, to do so happily. I've interviewed employee candidates searching for clues as to what makes better employees at the point of the hiring. In other words, can you look into a crystal ball and get inside their heads and their hearts? And that is one tough cookie to crack, to mix about three metaphors there. In the end, a conclusion I've come to based upon that experience is that you cannot train anyone to be happy. Now, you're going to say, Johnny, it took you five years to figure out that? Man, dude, hello. That's reason knocking. Hello. Sure, it sounds obvious, but I guess I needed to show it to myself. I needed to train myself to understand that happiness is not something that can be elicited. It's not something that can be trained or programmed. Is that we are born with it? We're raised to plug into it? We somehow teach ourselves that it's all right to be happy? It's simply omnipresent. It's within us. But in the end, my belief is that happy people are happy no matter where you put them, no matter what environment you put them in. They will find some amount of joy in that place, and that from a business standpoint, the best people you can go hire and look for are those people that are already in that place. You can train them the skill set for whatever that position is. There are some limitations. Some positions need a little schooling. Sure, brain surgeons, we don't want to say, hi, I'm your happy brain surgeon. I'm wearing a clown nose. Which one is the scalpel? You know, we don't want to hear that as we go under in the anesthetic. But by and large, that most positions, many positions, those skill sets can be trained. All of it can be trained. But happiness is a talent. You got it or you don't got it. How we allow our happy driver to drive our bus, how we are raised in that environment and just live it normally. And you know those people. Those people are just inherently happy, and they have a bounce in their step and a twinkle in their eye, and there's a natural smile on their puss, and they just seem to think that life is grand. And it doesn't take a holiday for them to think that. They just kind of live a holiday. And those are great. And those are great people. Let me just turn that off. I think the computer just triggered that. Sorry about that. Yes, it is ladies' night. In fact, it's happiness every night here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. The time to be happy is now. The place to be happy is here, unquote. That was said by Robert Ingersoll. He's a Civil War veteran, an orator, a staunch Republican, and an agnostic. Interestingly enough, as well as a friend of Walt Whitman, the time to be happy is now. The place to be happy is here. Talk about living in the present, living in the now. All of this happy talk is leading up to something that happened that was quite extraordinary last week and part of the Smile Project. I'm going to get to that on the end of this, if you're wondering where I'm going with this. Actually, I'm kind of wondering. I'm kind of excited to see where this ends up. Let's see, shall we? I start with this quote this morning in this first segment as it speaks to the fundamental part of us that wants to be happy, that already is happy. We consider it such a basic part of our humanity that it's in the first sentence of perhaps the most important document in American history, the Declaration of Independence, which is, in effect, our nation's birth certificate. We were born 234 years ago tomorrow. We're going to talk a lot more about that particular document. As part of what we normally refer to as the preamble, the opening of the United States Declaration of Independence, which was written by Thomas Jefferson in 1776, states as follows, quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness," unquote. Wow, okay. That's actually in the document which freed us from colonial rule, in essence. It was the culmination of a lot of people working tirelessly to see to it that you and I live in a free society in the United States of America. So putting the word and those words were mulled over. I mean, you know, I don't get the sense that Jefferson and Hancock and the whole gang just said, yeah, you know, it was like July 3rd. It was about 10 in the morning. And they're, you know, Tom, did we write something about this whole freedom thing? Yes. Yes, John, I think we should. How about, does anybody have a pen? Anybody got a pen? Pen, anybody? Feather quill, anyone? Ink? Oh, did somebody get to Office Max? No ink? I just don't expect it was sort of this ramshackle thing. You know, I think they sort of ruminated on things. We're not guaranteed happiness, per se, but the pursuit of it. An interesting article from LiveScience.com online. It says, happiness is 50% genetic. This is according to University of Minnesota researcher David Lykin. What you do with the other half of the challenge depends largely on determination. Most psychologists agree, your determination to be happy. As Abe Lincoln said, most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Happiness is a decision, a place that we decide to go to. Happiness does not come via prescription drugs. I'm reading from this article. Happiness does not come from prescription drugs, although 10% of women 18 and over and 4% of men take antidepressants, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. Antidepressants benefit those with mental illness, but are no happiness guarantee, researchers say. Nor will money or prosperity buy happiness for many of us. Money that lifts people out of poverty increases happiness, but after that, the better paychecks stop paying off sense of well-being dividends, research shows. So it's short-term. You eat a little ice cream, you feel good for an hour, then you wonder, hey, man, I'm packing on all this weight, and you go the other way, right? Continuing with the article, one route to more happiness is called flow, an engrossing state that comes during creative or playful activities, say psychologists. Athletes, musicians, writers, gamers, and religious adherents know the feeling. It comes less from what you're doing than how you do it. How we all do it. Process of it. Part of the article says, make lists of things for which you're grateful in your life. Practice random acts of kindness. Forgive your enemies. Notice life's small pleasures. Take care of your health. Practice positive thinking. Invest time and energy into friendships and family, part of the process. The happiest people have the strongest relationships, say psychologists. Interestingly, research finds that most people are slightly to moderately happy, not unhappy. Now, that's very interesting. Most people are slightly to moderately happy. When they do the Q&A and they do the research and they send out the questionnaires, most of us are slightly to moderately happy, not unhappy. Okay, so we're living in a fairly happy place, most of us. Some Americans, say the article, are reluctant to make these changes and remain unmotivated, even though our freedom to pursue happiness is written into the preamble of the Declaration of Independence, says the article. Don't count on the government, say psychologists. Our economy lacks the robustness to sustain policy changes that would bring about more happiness, like reorienting cities to minimize commute times. You know, here in Des Moines, it's really not. What is our average commute, like 11 minutes or something? It's like the lowest commute time of the 300 major cities. I read that somewhere. Commuting's probably, oh man, I've got another 10-minute commute to work. You probably don't look at it, most of us, heading off to work. There are selfish reasons to behave in altruistic ways, say researchers. Research shows that people who are grateful, optimistic, and forgiving have better experiences with their lives, more happiness, fewer strokes, higher incomes. If it makes the world a better place at the same time, that's a real bonus, unquote. You know, it sort of plays into that idea, I think, that people who give of their time and themselves, all of us who do that, for the greater good of someone else, are ultimately giving to our own good. We're feeding our own head, feeding our own soul. It's sort of the ultimate selfish act, with that criteria in mind, and yet it benefits the widest number of people. Interesting dichotomy. people who positively, back to the article, people who positively evaluate their well-being on average have stronger immune systems, are better citizens at work, earn more income, have better marriages, are more sociable, and cope better with difficulties. Okay, all makes sense. Lethargy, is it lethargy? Just kind of laying around moping, like a big old droopy bag of wet potatoes. That holds many people back from doing the things that lead to happiness. If you're looking for something to complain about, you are absolutely certain to find it, say researchers. It requires some effort to achieve a happy outlook on life. Most people don't make it. Most people take the path of least resistance. Far too many people today don't make the steps to make their life more fulfilling. I want to read you a few quotes about happiness leading up to a great experience from last week. True happiness is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose. Helen Keller. You will never be happier than you expect. To change your happiness, change your expectation. So said Betty Davis, the actress. Happiness is man's greatest aim in life. Tranquility and rationality are the cornerstones of happiness, says Epicurus. Happiness is when you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. Gandhi. A happy person is not a person in a certain set of circumstances, but rather a person with a certain set of attitudes. Hugh Downs, ABC. Happiness is the meaning and the purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence, said Aristotle. Money can't buy you happiness, but it does bring you a more pleasant form of misery. Spike Mulligan. Happiness ain't a thing in itself. It's only a contrast with something that ain't pleasant. Mark Twain. I love this one. Happiness comes only from appreciating what you have right now. You can even be happy by appreciating your troubles because they are helping to build your character. Harriet Meyerson. Dr. Benjamin Spock said, happiness is mostly a byproduct of doing what makes us feel fulfilled. Thousands of candles can be lighted from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared. So says Buddha. Life can be divided into the horrible and miserable. Woody Allen. Happiness is not in having or being, it is in the doing. Lillian Watson. The greatest part of our happiness depends on our dispositions, not our circumstances, said Martha Washington. Happiness is a thing to be practiced like the violin, John Lubbock. Confucius say, to be truly happy and contented, you must let go of what it means to be happy or content. Happiness is something you get as a byproduct in the process of making something else, Aldous Huxley. What's the use of happiness? It can't buy you money. Hedy Youngman. Happiness is when your mind is thinking through your heart. Judy Singleton. Albert Schweitzer said, happiness is nothing more than good health and a bad memory. Whoever is happy will make others happy too, Mark Twain. And Anonymous, sometimes your joy is the source of your smile, but sometimes your smile can be the source of your joy. That brings us to what happened last week. And part of the Unsecret Shopper blog that I write every week, it is a blog committed to customer service training, secret shopping, and overall, the overall happiness and elevated happiness, better happiness, more of it, of shoppers, employees, employers, owners, everyone, all of us. There was a project that I started about 2 months ago called the Smile Project. It was in reaction to some numbers that I had gotten over a period of time from the Des Moines Customer Service Survey, which you can take online by Googling the Des Moines Customer Service Survey. You'll come up to it. It's 10 questions. It takes you about 5 minutes. But one of the questions was and is, when you're in a retail setting and you're shopping for something and you go to the checkout counter, how often do you see a smile? We know Hy-Vee says there's a helpful smile in every aisle. It's part of their marketing plan. But how often do you really see a smile in retail? 63% of the recipients say, yeah, they see one every time they go in. 30% say, no, I don't see a smile. Interesting. It didn't seem like very good numbers to me. And I also thought, you know what, maybe even worse than that. And so I started the project called the Smile Project, which is whenever I see someone in a retail setting smile at me, engage me with a smile, I'm going to reward them, first of all, with $25 cash on the spot. The second part of that is that I'm going to take their picture and I'm going to post it in a blog post and talk about them and the business they work for and give that business some free promotion. Simple enough. Not always simple enough, and this has had some challenges in the past with businesses not necessarily wanting to be promoted or not. Anyway, they're not sure the legitimacy of the Unsecret Shopper, and it's understood. And last Wednesday night, for heaven's sakes, I'm getting old, but I'm still happy. Last Wednesday night, about 9:30 at night, I was at Dahl's Foods on 86th in Johnston, Northwest 86th Street, and was buying a package of mushrooms, whatever, doing my thing. And I come around, and they've got these cool sliding Dahl's. It's a conveyor belt, but it's metal, and it's kind of like a circle. It goes around and around. I that's interesting to me. I always thought that was very interesting. I have a Dahl's trademark. But I'm watching my mushrooms roll along, and I see the hand of the cashier on the mushroom, and she brings them up and scans them, and I look into her face, and she has this big, beautiful, amazing, powerful, legitimate, authentic smile that doesn't leave her face for 1 minute. And I'm thinking, hey, that's tomorrow's blog. That's tomorrow's focus. And that was the joyful beginning of a journey with Beth, which is her name, works at Dahl's. Kenny Kane is the store manager at that Dahl's. Great guy. Spoken with him several times. He is as proud as you can imagine someone would be of an employee who carries the happiness torch, which is what Beth does. She stands out. In fact, Beth is the fourth employee in any retail setting of all the purchases I've made over the past almost 2 months, who has greeted me with a smile. That's a powerful thing and deserves to be honored. Happiness does not come easy for many of us. Natural happiness or otherwise, or at work happiness, or hey, you got to smile because it's a mandate. Beth smiles because she's just happy to do it. And I don't think she'd know any other way. In fact, if you don't see a smile on her face, it kind of looks weird. It's almost like part of her nose fell off. That's how weird she would look without a smile on her face. You can see the beautiful smile of Beth on my Unsecret Shopper blog, which was posted, that particular photo of her and the explanation of the smile project was posted on Thursday. Thursday's normally a day reserved for the Unsecret Shopper, Secret Shopper reviews of businesses. But because we were leading up to our nation's 234th birthday, you know what? I just thought, you know, I'm not going to do a critical piece. I want to do something nice and fun. And Beth really made that happen. So, Beth, thank you so much for the beautiful smile. And thank you, Ken and Kane and the group out at Dahl's, who now every time I go in and I went in and since, like, everybody is smiling. And it's just awesome. And that's contagious. And that's what it's supposed to be. Got more quotes on smiling and happiness. I've also got some rundown of where fireworks are at throughout central Iowa. But coming up next, you're going to hear from an employee who is involved in customer service training through my company, the Biosphere, and get a little insight into what that training entails and how effective it is and what it's meant to Jeff and other employees like him. We'll look at that coming up next. It is 8:22 now, the day before July 4th. Hope you're having a wonderful Independence Day weekend. This is the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. Enjoy yourself, whether you're working hard, Mr. and Mrs. or Ms. businessman or woman, or whether you're Mr. and Mrs. Ms. employee. Most of us fit into there somewhere. We're all shoppers, of course, and that's what the show is dedicated to. Shoppers, shopping happy, serving happy. This is the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. on 1350 KRNT. It is 8:27. My name is Johnny Wright. Thank you for tuning in. You can find out all about the Unsecret Shopper. If you're a business owner who's interested in some training, that we can do. If you're just a normal cat and you just want to find out more about the Unsecret Shopper or customer service, always had an interest in that. If you want to do some secret shopping, you can Google search the Unsecret Shopper, and it'll bring you right to it. And some very interesting Google searches are bringing people into the fold. Your weather forecast, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, and we'll fold up sometime Sunday afternoon when we'll start folding up our tents, so to speak. Although, you know, the diehards aren't going anywhere. The campgrounds are full. You've got the July 4th, second busiest holiday on the roads and just in general. And what does the weather forecast look out for all of us? Well, it's going to be sunny today. And 86, a warmer day today and a more humid day, says Connie McBurney and the KCCI Weather Beacon. I'm living way in the past, baby. That's right. Tonight, 40% chance of showers after midnight. We drop down to 70, and then shower chances very, very likely on Sunday, July 4th. As we're trying to light the sparklers, and we're trying to light the little sizzling snakes, and we're trying to light, unless the fireworks, I know you thought it was a good idea. I know you drove down to Missouri, and you made that trip down and down there all the way through, you know, and if you're trying to listen to radio stations, I mean, God bless your XM radio, because it gets really thin down there past Lamoni, and you went down there, and you went across the border, and you looked for the first fireworks sign that was down there, and you said, hey, kids, let's pull over in this SUV and fill up the entire back end with illegal explosives and then bring them back. Yay! So the kids pile out there when you get across the border in Kirksville or wherever it is right there. I can't remember what it is on 35. And you go into the first store, and it's just packed with people. And you're putting things into a sack with fuses and everything, and load them in, and then you're riding back, and everybody's laughing and everything, and then you get back, and, you know, tonight and during the day tomorrow, you're going to be out there in the backyard, and you're going to light some thing, some M9080 thing, and you're going to throw it, and it's going to go, and it's going to make this, wasn't really a very good sound effect I just made, but, and it's going to, and you know what it's going to do? It's going to make my dog go crazy. It's going to make him lose his poor little mind. And listen, this dog just has a very little bit of mind left. I think one more sparkler will drive him over the edge, frankly. So anyway, remember that there are people, and particularly pets, who are uber sensitive to loud noises. I mean, I'm talking about a dog who jumped out of a second story window in my apartment complex through the screen, three separate occasions, two of them during a thunderstorm, and one time just so he could stay in practice because it had been dry a couple weeks. So you lighting off your M80s and your firecrackers and stuff, I don't know what this dog will do. I, you know what? He doesn't deserve that, so please go with the sparklers, the kind, gentle stuff. Leave the fireworks out there in the country and the small towns all over the Iowa where you got, and I'm going to run through the list of where the legal official fireworks displays will be going on this weekend. So you don't have to light up your backyard and probably set fire to your garage, and the cops are going to come out anyway, and then you're going to ossifer, you know, they're not going to like that moment. You're going to remember this moment where Johnny said, please be kind, be gentle. Yes. Very nice. All right, enough about all of that. We'll get to the list of places that have the fireworks shows coming up a little bit later on, as well as an inside look at the Declaration of Independence. I think you're going to find that very interesting, and that is, to me, one of the ultimate pieces of customer service. It was about the happiness, the pursuit of happiness of all of us, and that's sort of the foundation of, I think, everything that we're about and everything we do. One of the foundations of my company, the Biosphere, B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E, is customer service training. That customer service training is a program that I developed based upon the five pillars of great customer service, which are smile, greet, engage, thank, and follow up. All of those have little offshoots, but those are the pillars, the fundamental components of the training that I do for about a dozen companies throughout Des Moines and Central Iowa. One of the companies that I hope is the beneficiary of that, because I know I have been the beneficiary of those employees and working with them, is Westside Auto Pros. And that training has been going on now for 4 or 5 months, I believe, basically on a weekly basis. A lot of secret shoppers sent in to that business, a lot of reports from those secret shoppers, and based upon those reports, and by the way, those secret shoppers include paid secret shoppers trained to secret shop, as well as actual customers who are contacted right before their visit, their planned visit into the repair, and it's an auto repair shop, Westside Auto Pros. Those customers are contacted, and then they're asked to look for specific things when they go in that are based upon the training that we do at Westside Auto Pros. Ron Hagen is just a phenomenal owner, a visionary, very progressive guy, and one of the great ones to work with. Well, I sat down last week. I thought it would be interesting to give you a little insight into the actual impact that not just this training, but a lot of other training on the side that Ron does with his employees has had on the employees and how they perceive it. One of those employees is Jeff. He has been with Westside Auto Pros for quite a while now, and I sat down with him right after some training we did last week, and we did a quick interview, and this is an excerpt from that interview. I'm with Jeff. He's an employee at Westside Auto Pros, and we just got out of a training session, which we were talking about the five pillars of great customer service. And first of all, Jeff, are there any one of the five pillars of great customer service that you like or that is sort of a natural part of you more than any of the other five? Anything come to mind?
Well, I'd say probably the smiling and greeting, because that's the most pleasant part of it. You get to meet new people, and everybody's happy to meet somebody else who's happy and smiling and greets them the right way.
As a kid growing up, your family, where did you grow up? What town did you live in?
I grew up in Knoxville, Iowa. Spent all my life there. Graduated in 85 and just moved to Des Moines to start my adult life and get a job up here and new adventures.
Was being friendly and engaging, were you raised in that environment? Did you learn it later on? How did that all pan out?
Well, I definitely wasn't the shy kid in the back of the room in school growing up. I was pretty sociable and pretty interactive, and I'm not afraid to walk up to anybody and say hi to them. I like meeting new people.
So that was just a natural part of you. And so as you've done customer service training, and first of all, when did you get involved in automotive repair? What was your first gig, or did you do it when you were a kid too?
Well, that goes back quite a ways, because my stepfather owned Napa stores, so I was raised in the parts and automotive repair area since 3 years old when he married my mother. And then I ended up coming up here to Des Moines, like I said, and got a job working at Napa Auto Parts and worked there for about 17 years, and that's how I met Ron and some of the technicians that work here, and that's how we sort of started our relationship.
When you were in Napa, was there customer service training? Was there any of the sort of the things that you're training on now? Was that present in when you worked for that company?
Yeah, Napa is a big corporation, and they do have all kinds of training set up in-house. Even have gone so far as to fly me down to Atlanta to go to training there. And we did constant training, always were trying to improve on the customer service, and not to brag, but our store ended up being one of the top five operations in the entire nation, so we were pretty proud of what we did for customer service.
When you made the switch over to Westside Auto Pros and Ron hired you away from Napa, were there big changes? Was the culture the same, or was there a culture when you came over here?
Well, it was a lot different coming here versus working at Napa Auto Parts, because Napa, like I said, is a large corporation, and sometimes in large corporations things don't happen as quickly as you want them to, whereas in Ron's operation, if we have an issue, we go directly to him, we get it addressed immediately, he'll give us an answer, whether we like the answer or not, he will give us an answer, and we'll move forward and get something taken care of and get a problem behind us.
Well, I know Ron is huge on training. Obviously, you guys were doing training way before I ever came into the picture. Was there anything that stands out in that training that you went off to do that was a surprise, or was there a particular part of that customer service training that you said, wow, that was intense and great, and I'll always remember that? Anything come to mind?
Well, I thought I knew a pretty good amount about customer service when I was working at Napa. But when I came here to work for Ron, he belongs to a group of shop owners that are all in one big group, and they critique each other and have organized training through an outside source. And I hadn't worked here probably more than 2 weeks when Ron flew me out to Seattle for a week's training, which is a pretty large investment, the airline tickets, a hotel for the week, and I'm sure the training wasn't inexpensive. So Ron made a commitment right off the bat, and that's the way he is. I mean, he makes a commitment and he follows through, and invested a lot of money and time and effort into getting me the training I need so that I can take care of the customer the right way.
What were some of the things you did out in that training? I know that Alan, your coworker, has been out and spoken about it, and it's pretty intense. Can you describe a little bit of it?
Well, it covers all the aspects of being a service advisor. We did role playing. We actually contacted shops out there to get examples of good phone skills and poor phone skills, and really went through pretty much every aspect of the job, and opened our eyes up to a lot of different aspects of people's personalities and how to work with people and make sure that you're on their level and communicating in ways that they understand and are comfortable talking to you.
Talk a little bit about, I think I started training or came on board Westside Auto Pros maybe about 4 months ago-ish. I don't know if it was maybe 4 or 5 months, but talk a little bit. I know talking with Ron sort of at the beginning when we were doing some of the training, Ron tells me, it's like, I don't know, the guys, if they're buying in or they're getting it. I mean, you got it, but you weren't sort of sure about me or the process. And then maybe over time, it started to sort of plug in or pieces started to come together. This is what Ron has told me. You can tell me if I'm drinking Drano or not. But can you describe this aspect or my aspect of training and how that's evolved for you over time?
Well, Johnny, you do have a few things that you suggested that were a little bit, we thought we were maybe a little bit weird, but really the more you think about them, it makes good sense, the things you've asked us to do and to change. And really, I mean, I think it's got a pretty good effect, too. We try to all greet the customer, whether or not we're working with the customer. Try to make sure we're always smiling. Just always have a positive attitude, because people don't come to a car repair shop with a smile on their face usually, so our job can be more difficult than, say, somebody who works in a candy store, because you want to go into the candy store. So we have to really be conscious of the customer's emotions and feelings, and don't prejudge customers. Just tell them what the vehicle needs, explain the priorities, and give them some options, and help them work through this, because it's not a pleasant experience.
One thing that I was wondering, we play back testimony from actual customers who have come through the door, and then afterwards I'll interview them, and then we play back that audio in training. In fact, we did that just today. What kind of impact has that had on you and how you look at the things from their aspect?
Well, I like to get the customer input. I feel that the input from the customers is an opportunity to improve. So, I mean, that's a good thing. We want input from the customers, and we'll respond to it. I try not to take it personal, because like I stated, the customers are sometimes in a bad spot emotionally, due to the fact that their transportation is not functioning. They know they're going to have to invest some money that they maybe didn't have budgeted. So, lost train of thought there.
Well, and you've secret shopped for me, and you went on, and this is to other clients. Has that provided more insight into sort of things from the consumer's aspect?
Yeah, that's probably the best type of role playing you can do, just because of the fact that it's totally natural. The salesperson that's waiting on you when you're secret shopping is not aware of it. There is, the secret part of it. So it's really nice, because you can see what other salespeople do right and wrong, and use that to improve yourself.
Last question. What's the comment you get most from customers? And I see this all the time. I see them smile when you engage them. I see them ask for you. I got to have that Jeff. He's so good with me and everything else. What do you, how rewarding is, I mean, it must just be fantastic when, in fact, just downstairs today, there was an older gentleman who came in and he wanted to come around and kiss you and pinch your cheek. I mean, it was ridiculous. That has to feel good.
Yeah, I feel like I've built up somewhat of a relationship besides just the business relationship with our customers, and I really enjoy being able to take care of customers, get their car fixed and back to them. I think we go above and beyond all the other service facilities in the city, at least, if not the state. And it's just nice to be able to get their vehicles fixed and get it back to them and get their life back on track. And we kid around when they leave, you know, say, hey, you know, they say, well, hope I don't see you again, you know, nothing personal. But that's the truth. I mean, people are not coming in here because it's a choice. So we need to help them make it as painless as possible.
That's Jeff from Westside Auto Pros. Great guy, extremely well-trained, and just a happy guy in general. And it's a real pleasure to work with Jeff and Alan and the entire staff at Westside and the other staffs at the other companies where we do our customer service training. If you'd like to find out more about all of that, you can Google search The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. You're listening to The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show and The Unsecret Shopper blog, also online, which you can Google that as well. And Google anything you want. Just have fun with Google. Hope you're outside, though, more than you're inside Googling, because that's where the real fun is this weekend. We've got fireworks displays. I'm going to tell you all about those coming up. You're listening to The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. You are tuned in and locked into The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. 1350 KRNT. Well, I hope you're listening. Look at listen. You gotta. How could you not smile when Nat King Cole is singing? Come on! It is 8:45 on the way. We're gonna look in depth at a document that rules our lives. One of them, and we rule it. Of course, it is the Declaration of Independence. At the centerpiece, it's really the birth certificate of our nation. And tomorrow, it is our 234th birthday, and I got to tell you, I don't feel a day over 100. I don't know, and I look fantastic. I can't speak for you. I'm sure you do, too. Look in the mirror. Tell me I'm not lying, because I'm not lying. We'll take a look at that, read a little bit from the Declaration of Independence, and we'll end in a flourish with a little singing from Ray Charles, which I think you're going to enjoy. So where will you be smiling over the next 3 days looking at fireworks? The big exploding bombs bursting in air. Yeah, and you got the little sizzly things, and you got the things that make the sound like a middle-aged man spitting into a microphone. You've got them all there, out in the pretty colors and beautiful, just the white blind, and you know it's going to be a big crackle and everything else, and the all the stars sizzling out and the rainbow pretty. Where's all that going on? Well, let me tell you a few spots in Des Moines. Prairie Meadows has fireworks at 10 o'clock tonight. Very nice. I hope I hope it doesn't scare the horses. They probably put big dealio does in the horses' ears to stifle the sound, I would imagine. iCubs have fireworks after what will hopefully be a victory. That's tomorrow and on Monday. Actually, they're the only place in town locally that has fireworks, I believe, on Monday the 5th. Fort Des Moines has fireworks tomorrow. Live music, free museum tours, carnival games, ice cream starting at 1 o'clock. Jordan Creek Town Center has fireworks, post-concert fireworks starting at dusk. That is tomorrow. The concert starts at 5 o'clock, Jordan Creek Town Center. Urbandale, you've got fireworks at Lions Park. Of course, a tradition is in Waukee. Fireworks launch on the 4th at 9:30 p.m. from Centennial Park after some nice live music. West Des Moines, you got the parade, which is going on, I believe, as my head roars right now. Live music follows that parade at Valley Junction, and then at 5 o'clock, you've got fireworks, West Des Moines Community Band performing at 7 p.m. on the 4th of July at Raccoon River Park, with fireworks at dusk above Blue Heron Lake. Windsor Heights, you'll have fireworks tomorrow night, and Colby Park at 9:30 p.m. Or, you know, they always like to sort of prolong that a little bit, don't they? Sort of get the tension, the anticipation going, and the kids are saying, where's the fireworks at? And you're saying, just one more. It's almost like the kid's saying, are we there yet? And you say, please, somebody light something and make it explode to chill out the kid, because they're high on cotton candy, for heaven's sakes. Ames, yes, you've got Riemann Gardens. It says, take a break from the Riemann Gardens gnomes Is that Ryman Gardens? I'm so sorry. I think I may have mispronounced that. Whether it's, see, I before E, except after. Anyway, the gardens there in Ames, which are absolutely beautiful, they'll be open later than usual. The Ames JCs have their annual fireworks display at dusk on the 4th of July. Events going on throughout the day, as well as at the band shell. Carlisle has fireworks scheduled at 10 o'clock tomorrow night at North Park. In Sheridan, you've been having carnival rides, live music. It's just a crazy 3-day love fest and happy fest and smile fest going on. You'll have fireworks tomorrow night starting at around 10 o'clock. In Creston, your July 4th celebration tomorrow includes a flea market, talent show, and fireworks at 9:30 p.m. Indianola, of course, has fireworks as an annual tradition starting at 9:30 from Pickard Park. Milo, got your parade going on. Sunday at dusk, fireworks at Centennial Park following that. Norwalk today at dusk. You'll be moving against the grain. You'll be swimming upstream because you're going to do your fireworks tonight, which is very exciting for Norwalkians at the Mackinac Sports Park. Pleasantville fireworks are at 9:30 p.m. tomorrow night at Pleasantville Park. And in Slater, this is close to my hometown of Cambridge, the Ballard High School Community School District area. Biscuits and gravy breakfast, always a favorite down there at the fire station, starting at 6 o'clock. Parade at 10 o'clock this morning. It's all this morning. All-day events at the Nelson Park, the beer tent. Sure, one year it's a beer garden, the next year it's a beer tent. Listen, just make it a beer town, and that'll, you know, get it over. Do it, please. And then music Saturday tonight, and then fireworks tonight as well. So sort of bucking the trend there in Slater. So a little something to put a smile on your face and... Oh, I already played that one. You know, I don't want to play that one. I want to play this one, actually. I don't know why. I just have a hanker to play a sunshiny day when you're out enjoying the event.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out. Give me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day.
Now, how can you not want to go outside and take your shoes off and run around with the Brady Bunch singing Sunshine Day? You have to go do that. Go do that today and enjoy it and be happy and smile and look for other those people working in the heart and the tents and serving up the soda pops and all that. You're going to see great customer service no matter where you go and what you do today. Coming up, a quick look at the Declaration of Independence. We're celebrating its 234th and our own birthday coming up tomorrow right here on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. You're listening to 1350 KRNT.
You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. What's your plan? Take care of business.
Trying to take care of business. Making sure the books are, that's the right way to say, making sure the books are cooked. It's probably not the right way to take care of business. Making sure they're properly written down. All that left brain stuff, running a business entails. How about the right brain stuff? How are your customers? Are they happy? Are your employees engaging them in a happy way? Well, that's part of the journey to success for all business owners, and probably any of our success really is about happiness and smiling and engaging, those five great pillars of customer service that we talk about often here on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, which you're listening to at 8:53 on 1350 KRNT. I wish you a very happy and safe 4th of July holiday weekend. It's the second busiest on our roadways and can be one of the deadliest, so please, of course, I tell you all the stuff everybody else tells you, buckle up, don't drink and drive, and just be smart and slow down and give yourself extra time to get everywhere, and that way you'll have just a wondrous July 4th holiday weekend. Interesting piece in the Des Moines Register this morning talking about the Declaration of Independence. It appears that if someone wrote a little something-something, that Thomas Jefferson may have written something and then tried to sort of scribble it out. I'll read you from the piece from Associated Press. Preservation scientists at the Library of Congress have discovered that Thomas Jefferson, even in the act of declaring independence from England, had trouble breaking free from monarchical rule. In an early draft of the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson wrote the word subjects when he referred to the American public. He then erased that word and replaced it with citizens, a term he used frequently throughout the final draft. The library released news of the struck word for the first time on Friday. Fenella France, a research chemist at the library, said her lab made the discovery last year by using hyperspectral imaging, using a high-resolution digital camera that piles a series of images to highlight layers on a document. I'm a little worried if they start really looking close at that thing. Will there be like a little game of tic-tac-toe that John Hancock did up here, and maybe, I don't know, George Washington did something over here, and he said, George plus Martha equals true love, you know, and there's a heart that I get scribbled out. You know, they start looking close in this stuff. I'm a little concerned about it. In any event, whether you're looking close at it or far away, the United States Declaration of Independence, I'm reading from Wikipedia, is a statement adopted by the Continental Congress July 4, 1776, which announced that the 13 American colonies then at war with Great Britain were now independent states. Our independence, our birthday, the birth of a nation, occurred tomorrow, 234 years ago. I'll read just briefly from the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. It is about our happiness and the pursuit of it in which we celebrate this weekend. May you celebrate with a smile on your face and a song in your heart, and I leave you with one from the late, great Ray Charles, America.
Oh, beautiful. In liberating strife, who more than self, their country loved, and voices born in 9 times. What I'm singing about tonight. America, sweet America, bring God back glory fire. Till our success be nobleness and you know, when I was a youngster, we always sing it this way. Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies, far heaven will reign. Far purple mountains.